Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
If you have your Bibles, I'm going to take a moment. Let's go to the Word. That's what we're focused in on tonight. We're going to be in Ephesians. I want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, probably already some of you might be thinking, oh, this is such an old illustration he's going into, because probably you know where I'm headed. And that's the armor that we talk about in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6. But I really believe God has given me something fresh and new pertaining to the armor, and I want to share that with you before we go on tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, I guess more than anyone at that particular time, realized that his walk with Christ was not only a physical thing, that he had made a decision that he's going to change his life or give his life to the Lord and actually do something different while he was here on earth, but he quickly realized that it was a spiritual thing. I think we begin to realize that our walk is very much spiritual. And the area that we enter into that probably brings a greater awareness of that fact more than anything else is the spiritual warfare that you can enter into or that we are involved in this world. Now, before you're a believer, we're not aware of that spiritual warfare. We're just kind of living in darkness. We're kind of blinders on, and we're going through life just trying to navigate and do the best we can. And we don't realize that there are forces and powers that are acting against us, because basically we've just come into agreement with them, and that's the way we're living our lives. But once you make a decision for Christ, you kind of butt heads with the enemy right away. How many know what I'm talking about? You realize right away that you're in a spiritual warfare, and that your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to look at that just for a moment. Paul said in verse 10, he said that we're to be strong in the Lord. Verse 11, we're to prepare ourselves, put on the whole armor of God. And there's a reason for it, to be able to stand against the evil one, all the tricks of the devil. And then he makes it very clear, for our wrestling, our battles are not just with flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, rulers of darkness, he says, hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Because of this, or therefore, he goes on to say, we need to have our armor on, just like any warrior that's in a warfare. And he mentions all of the armor there. And my purpose of tonight is not to go through all of this armor, but there is the girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, shield of faith to quench the fiery darts, helmet of salvation. But I want to focus on verse 17. And the sword, say it with me, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's say it again. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very clear that God's Word is like a sword. Now, I want to start this out by just kind of addressing that whole sword thing. Up until this week, now I've been studying the Word of God for 42 years. Up until this week, I never saw this before. So you're getting something fresh. This just happened yesterday to me. I was studying out this whole thing about the sword, and I've always come to thought it was something like this, a big old Roman soldier's sword. This is a good one, by the way. And that you, quite naturally, this is something you use against the enemy, both defensive and an offensive weapon. But a closer look at this verse gives us something a little bit different than a large sword like this. I want you to look at the verse again. It says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's a little looking into this, you looked at the Greek word for sword, and it's not the big wielding large sword, but it's a dagger. It's the Greek word for dagger. More of this size, which is pretty well a good example of what a dagger must have looked like. So Roman soldiers not only had a sword that they would have, but they had a dagger. Now, a dagger is a little bit different. You would say, well, I'd rather have a bigger sword than a dagger. I don't know. If you were really trained as a soldier, you would find that this thing could even be better. And I'll tell you why. But then look at the word. I'm looking at the Greek word for word there. There's two Greek words for the word in the Bible. Any of you students know what they would be? Number one would be logos, and the other one would be rhema. There's two words, logos and rhema. When you say logos, you're looking at the general content of this Bible. This is the logos word of God. So over Genesis through the book of Revelation, you have the logos word of God. Whereas rhema is a specific word for a specific situation. It's like you get a rhema word. Cheryl and I received a prophetic rhema word, or there might be a specific scripture that you get for a specific situation that you find yourself in. That gives a different picture here when it says that the sword of the Spirit or the dagger of the Spirit is the rhema word. Now, let me tell you the significance of understanding a little bit. You see, what you can do with a dagger is that you could be very precise in where you put this dagger. Whereas when you do a sword, you're kind of wielding it. And if you just hit, sure, it's going to do damage. But a good soldier would have a shield, and if he had this thing out, he could put this dagger at a place where it would do the most damage. Are you getting a picture here? Where it would do the most damage. So, in other words, instead of, sure, it might hurt to cut off your finger. How many know that would hurt? But it's not going to kill you. You know, so the sword might cut off your arm, even. If it cut off your head, you're probably dead. But the dagger you could use to actually put it right into the heart or right into another vital organ that might be there or something to do real damage. You're not necessarily going to chop with this as much as you're going to be precision. So the armor, the sword that's being talked here is something that is rhema. So if we're going to win this victory over the enemy, you have to have enough knowledge of the Word of God where you can use it in a precise and precision way. Does that make sense? Because when the enemy comes at you, it's good you could just wield that thing and he might back up a little bit, you know, and he might be afraid of that thing you're just wielding your dinner. But man, if you put that dagger just right where it's going to hurt or do damage. Let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, we won't take time to go back in there, but basically you know the story. He went into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And what happened? After he had fasted, the enemy came to him, the devil came to him and tempted him. And you remember he tempted him in three areas. Without going into long discourse on this, it was the world, the flesh, and the enemy. But he was tempting him. And every time he tempted him with something, what did Jesus come back with? Not logos, but he came back with a precise word to deal with the temptation. And the enemy had nothing against him. He had to go on to the next subject. He came back with a precise word to deal with that particular temptation. And the third time, the precise word. The value of knowing the Word of God and having that as part of your armor is that when you really know it, when you get into it, when you systematically study it, when you're diligent to discipline yourself to read and you have scriptures, if something hits, say discouragement, there's a scripture on discouragement that you can use like a dagger and you can go right back at the enemy and it's just like, you did damage. You gave him the word and you won the victory as a result of it. Now, the sword, though, it's not the fact that you own one. I bet everybody owns a Bible in our town, but not everyone's a follower of Jesus. Everybody has a Bible, probably. But just the fact that you own one doesn't mean you're going to be equipped to fight the enemy. You have to what? You have to know it. You don't have to know what's in it. You have to be able to use it in a precise way. Now, I want to give you two general points, and they're going to come up here. The first thing, you have to trust this weapon. You have to trust it, and you have to equip yourself in a way that you can trust it. You have to trust this Bible that it is what it says it is. Because if you don't really believe it yourself, and there's any doubt in your heart or mind, or there's any wavering, or if you're on shaky ground whether or not you believe the Bible's all that said it is, the enemy's going to pick that up, and you're not going to be as precise as you need to be in your victory. So you have to trust the weapon itself. You have to trust in its inerrancy. In other words, there's no errors in the Word of God. You have to trust in its accuracy. You have to trust in its clarity. You have to trust in its integrity. You need to have a high view of this word. And you can't have a high view of this word if you just, every so often, just open it up and glance at it. But once you get into it, I venture to say if we took time, your view of the word of God is a lot higher now than when you started the school. You start studying, it starts to not only make sense to you, but it so ministers to you, it so speaks to you that you begin Not only do you get a high view of the Word of God, but you have a higher view of God. And when you have a higher view of God, you're on solid ground when the enemy comes. So you have to trust the weapons. You have to have a high view. Psalm 19:7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect. John chapter 10 and verse 35, interesting verse, says that the Scripture cannot be broken. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. So this word can be trusted. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration or breath of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that what the man of God or woman of God may be complete or equipped in every good work. You have to know that. You have to believe it. That's what the Word of God is, the breathed Word of God. Now, once you trust this weapon, that's the first step. The second thing is you have to understand its impact. You have to understand its impact. What kind of impact does the Word of God have on your life? Well, first of all, it's the source of your truth. There are a lot of good books. I like reading John Grisham. And all of his books, one of my favorite books to read outside of the Bible, they're good books. I like to read Louis L'Amour, believe it or not. A lot of history in Louis L'Amour about our country and about the West and things like that. You learn some facts. These are good things, but none of them give me the kind of truth. They give me facts and history about different parts of life, but this is truth. It's the source of truth. So the impact on your life, your word, John 17 said, is truth. It's your source of happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. Another word for happy in the Bible is blessed or blessed. So we want to be blessed. You could interpret the Beatitudes instead of blessed is the man. You could say happy is the man or happy is the woman and all these things. So it's a source of happiness. Blessed, the Amplified says in Proverbs, blessed or happy or fortunate is the man who listens to me. Happy are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Happiness. Do you remember when the two men after Jesus' resurrection, they were walking back to Emmaus? They had been in Jerusalem. They're walking back. And what did Jesus kind of tag along? And he began to what? Share with them Scripture. What it said? It says that their hearts burned within them. You know, when you study the word and you know the word, there's just something about the word that's with you, that burns within you, makes you happy. It's truth, it's happiness that does it. It's the source of growth. It's a source of growth. You grow leaps and bounds. I know what they would say, just one class, two classes, three, four classes a year. We grew leaps and bounds then, and probably one of the greatest times of growth in our life. 1 Peter says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may what? Grow. So it's God's word that causes you to grow. It's a source of power. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of God is what? Living. It's powerful. sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is powerful in a way that it's able to help me discern what decisions I'm making, what a right decision, what a wrong decision, what's fleshly, what is spiritual, what is selfish, what is not. This is what the Word of God does. There's power in the Word. It's a source of guidance. The impact is it guides me. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. It's a source of purity. We desire to be pure before the Lord. It's the study of God's Word. Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water, Jesus likening the church unto the bride. It's the washing of the water of the Word. There's a purification, and it's a source of victory. When you look at all of Ephesians chapter 6 and you put it all together, if you're going to be victorious, you really need all the armor. Don't go out without your sword. You might have a helmet on and you hide behind the shield for a while, but eventually the enemy is just going to pound that armor, and you got to have the sword. And the interesting thing about a dagger or a sword, or the sword itself, they're both defensive and offensive. That's the one piece that is defensive and offensive. Most of the others are all defensive, if you'll notice. If you put a breastplate on, you put a helmet on, that's defensive. It'll defend you from a blow. I guess you could take the shield and beat someone on the head. Could be offensive. That's as close as we'll get to it. But the sword is defensive. It means something. Defensive is that you know the truth, so when the enemy is attacking you with a lie, you could be defensive about it by the truth. So it defends you from giving in to a lie. It defends you from giving in to someone trying to argue or tell you that the Word of God is not true, or God's not the creator, or God doesn't give life. You know, you could defend yourself with the Word of God, but it's also offensive. You advance the truth. The Word of God not only defends the truth, but it advances the truth in your life, in your family, in your community. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, which is our theme verse that we do. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's only one way to defend, divide the word of truth, and that's from a knowledge of the Word of God. So that's what this night is all about, the Word of God, the value of the Word of God. And like Dennis had made statement, this is a value as a church from the very beginning stages. We value the Word so much that this was put in place as part of our DNA. We said if we're going to go forward as a church, as a ministry, the Word of God has to be not only root, it has to be foundational, it has to be, the emphasis has to be on it all the time. And that's, to me, why a lot of victories were won by our people over the years, why a lot of people have gone out into ministry, why a lot of ministries have started up as a result of this small little Bible college that operates in the heart of our country that people have come to and gone out. Now more are going to go out from here and be able to defend the truth, advance the truth, because you have studied the Word of God. You were diligent to study it.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.